Job chapter 2, from verse 7 to verse 10, the second onslaught. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Job chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. The affliction, the pain of this second onslaught. But all it does in this matter, as it concerns this battleground in Job between God and Satan, all it does is confirm the testimony that Job was a man of God. And though Satan did his worst, nevertheless Job stood a man of integrity and a man of God. This is a great distinguishing mark of this spiritual man. The spiritual man, in his sufferings and trials, still is with God, and Job did not sin in what he said. This is a challenge to me, my brothers and sisters. I hope it is to you. An encouragement to us, too. The grace of God can stand even this. Look at Job's illness. It was a tremendous affliction. Remember, it's coming on top of all the other troubles he's had. The losses, the sufferings, the suddenness of it all. And now this second onslaught. He's afflicted from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Painful running sores. And he's sitting down in the ashes in eastern humiliation, scraping himself with a piece of pottery. The pain, the suffering, the sleeplessness that's conjured up in all these words. There is no relief. There seems to be no bandage or medication. Satan truly has smote him. He can't make it fatal, but he gets as near to the brink as he can. He makes it exquisite in torment and anguish and suffering. He's afflicted with painful sores. Not just ugly sores, but painful sores. And he's fully conscious. He's able to speak. He knows what's going on. And he feels it. And he is afflicted. What now of the prosperity gospelers and others who talk about healing and sickness and all these things in such a way as to say that the believer can never go through this path, can never travel this way? What comfort is it to us when we are bereaved, when we are afflicted, when we are laid low, when our illness does come, when our trials are pouring upon us? It's a load of nonsense, but it's worse than that. It's such a painful, distressing nonsense, such a hurtful nonsense. Brother and sister, if you are in trouble today, illness and affliction, and it's come out of the blue and it's not your responsibility, do not misjudge the Lord. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Judge him not by the pain you're suffering now, or the darkness, or the tears. Look through the tears. Look through the clouds and see the promises. Learn from Job here. I say it to myself. Disappointment, trials of any kind. Let us look through the darkness and see the light of God in it. Look at Job's response. He tries to alleviate his pain. Yes, he scrapes himself. He's doing what he can. Yes, he's doing all he can. And it's quite right to do that. We're not fatalists. But he humbles himself before God in the oriental way, yes. And he expresses his humiliation. He's not a stoic. He's not a stiff upper lip. He knows how to cry. He knows how to weep. He knows how to spread out his cares. He knows how to speak about it. He feels it. He's a real man. We are, my friend. Don't let's pretend. We suffer. As Shylock said, if you prick us, we bleed. If you tickle us, we laugh. We feel it as well as any man. And Job has a further trial. His marriage, which should have strengthened him and supported him and encouraged him at this time, his wife, she is a professing believer. Job did not say, you are a foolish woman, an atheistical woman. He said, you're acting, you're talking like an atheistical woman. She was a professing believer with him in the same sense. She had the same lifestyle as he had. She knew these things. She was with him. And yet she shows now a very different reaction to these troubles. She's lost all hope of recovery. She's lost all patience. Are you still holding on to this integrity of yours? Curse God and die. She's rebellious against God. Troubles drive her from God, not to God. This is a great mark, a distinguishing mark here. Job is still holding on with God. And these trials do not drive him away. They drive him to God. They draw him to God. But Job's wife has a different reaction. She rebels against God. Is that you, brother? Is that you, sister? I don't want to be like that. Do you? Do you smite God, as it were, when troubles come to you? Do you give up? I know of people who've had disaster, and it turns their mind against God, and they can't go on anymore with God. Learn from Job here. Learn from Job's wife. Here's the negative here. You see, God is not fair. That's what she's saying. You've done your duty. You've done your part. He's not paying you back. This is the wrong attitude toward God. And she's actually aggravating Job's trial. Marriage, which should have strengthened him, is actually proving a hurtful thing to him at this time. I appeal to those of us who are married. Can we support our loved one in troubles and trials and not be a hindrance to them? We must do. It's the mutual care and comfort the one ought to have the other, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, in times of ease and times of darkness and difficulty. And look at Job's reply here. This is atheism, he says. The fool has said there's no God. The fool speaks like this. Let's be resigned, he said. Let's trust in God. Let's rely upon him. God is sovereign. He recognizes former mercies. He recognizes that God has blessed us. You see, we've accepted the good from God. Look how much good he's poured into our lives. He's heaped blessings upon us. He's given us benefit daily. Day after day, he's given us benefit and blessing to us. And now we're meeting trouble. Shall we not receive all from God? This is the mark of a true spiritual man. He maintains his spirituality, his integrity, through all these dark scenes. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I know of a lady who heard a sermon on that one day, and she rang up the man next day, and she said, yes, I proved it today. She said, all things do work together for good. And what she meant was everything had gone well, but she misunderstood the text. It's when Job's in his position now, with his sores and with his losses, he still says, all things work together. Even these things, these sores, these afflictions, this illness I have, brother, this sorrow you are meeting, sister, these disappointments, it's not only the good things, the nice things, the pleasant things. All things work together for good to them that love God. Can you not say that today? Can you not feel it today? Can you not enjoy it? We know that all things work together. We don't always perhaps see it or feel it, but it's the truth, isn't it? All things do work together for our good. Because, you see, that's what's going on here. You see, Satan has boasted that he'll bring Job down to deny God. And he's exerted his utmost power. He brought loss and poverty, and now he's brought this sickness and affliction and pain and torment, and still he's lost. Job can't see it. Job doesn't know this, but we do. We know what's going on behind the scenes. You see, Job is triumphant here. God is glorious. And Satan is lost yet again. You're listening, Satan. You lose every time. You might seem to win these battles, but you'll lose the war. But even here, Job came out of this trial triumphant. My friend, there are many lessons here, and these are just brief thoughts. One lesson is this. If you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verses 20 to 21, chapter 16, verses 9 to 11, you'll find three times it says, when torments came upon men, they still refused to repent. When plagues and afflictions come upon men, they refuse to repent. There's the atheist. There's the unbeliever. Job gets trials and troubles. What does he do? He turns to God. He holds on to God. There's the challenge, brother. There's the challenge, sister. Troubles come. Let us maintain our walk with God and our testimony for God. Unbeliever, troubles and trials drive you from God. But if you were awake, you would realize these trials should draw you to God. Cling to Him. Love Him. Get close to Him. The trial of our faith, brother and sister, works for us an exceeding, far greater weight of glory. You see, there are many texts that speak on this line. 1 Peter 1, James 1, James 3. Trials and difficulties come, but see the hand of God in them. We're not tried and tempted to sin, but we are tried in our afflictions, and they prove to be for the glory of God. For all things do work together for good to them that love God. I appeal again to those of us who are married. May we live as godly partners in this marriage. May we encourage one another, support each other, and build each other up, and maintain the faith of each other, and not be a hindrance or a means of temptation and trial. Are you a Christian? I appeal to you. Prepare for trouble. It may be fine today. It may be sunny today. It may be happy today. I remember when, just after we were married, my wife and I, way back in 1961, heard a man preach, and he gave us comforting doctrine. He said, "Don't put this too far away in the drawer," he said. "You never know when you might need it." We do not know what a day may bring forth. And I'm speaking to myself now. What if some trouble should come out of the blue to me today? How will I react? Will I glorify God? Will I be like Job? In all this, will I not sin in what I say or think or do? May I glorify God in all things. Unbeliever, you too have your afflictions and trials. But the greatest affliction and trial of all is yet to come, the judgment day and then everlasting judgment. Are you ready for that? Well, no, you're not, because you're an unbeliever. As Amos said, the prophet, prepare to meet your God. You never know when you might have to meet Him. Well, may God bless these few thoughts on this passage, the second onslaught. And what an onslaught it was for Job. But remember this, Satan did his worst, but God came out triumphant. And Job, for all his affliction, is still there, standing firm. May we prove in our time that we too will stand for God, brother and sister.